Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we'll consider today comes from the 25th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Thus far the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who said, I am the bread of life, dear fellow redeemed. Do you know what today is? It's the last day before the season of Lent, and this day has a lot of different names. It's been known down through the centuries by Christians as Shrove Tuesday, because it was always considered a good day on which to be shriven, to confess your sins, and to receive absolution before Ash Wednesday. In the United Kingdom, it's called Pancake Tuesday, because apparently they traditionally eat pancakes on this day. I don't know what that's about. In America, however, this day has been known for generations as Fat Tuesday. That's because it was considered a good day to enjoy fat things, rich food and drink, before the solemn season of Lent began with its austerity and its fasting. Although, of course, in today's America, there's very little austerity and practically no fasting at all during Lent or any other time. So Fat Tuesday nowadays ends up being little more than an excuse for another drunken party. Besides, we don't like the term fat very much, do we? It's considered something bad, something to be avoided at all costs, something to be strictly controlled with regimes of diet and exercise. But it was not always so. In Bible times, when famine was a stark reality and when starvation was never far away from the doorsteps of most people, it was not the same. For them, simply to have enough to eat was considered one of God's premier blessings. And for those people, fatness was something good, a sign of prosperity. The psalmist says of God's believers, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, they shall be fat and flourishing. In Proverbs, wise King Solomon says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. The passage I read to you a moment ago from the prophet Isaiah is one of the many places in Scripture that describes salvation in terms of a feast. The Bible says that what God offers people through the death and resurrection of His Son is like a feast of fat things, a rich banquet of nourishing food. But you know, there are many people who don't like nourishing food. You may have heard of a medical condition called pica. People with pica crave inedible things like chalk or clay or school paste. One woman I read about would burn up packs of cigarettes, a whole pack at a time, so that she could eat the ashes. Can you imagine eating ashes? I think you can, actually, because by nature, all of us human beings are born with very defective spiritual taste buds. By nature, we prefer bitter ashes to the bread of life. Paul says the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Even we children of God, we believers, are so easily distracted, aren't we, by the things in life that offer so little spiritual nutrition. We stress ourselves out chasing after money, material things, and pleasure, and all those things that we feed on that can never truly satisfy the soul. A little bit later in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 55, the prophet asks, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. In spiritual terms, America in 2017 is a lean and hungry wasteland, isn't it? There's barely a spare calorie to be glimpsed anywhere. But the Lord changes famine into feasting. Isaiah talks about the rich food that belongs to us now that Christ has finished his redemptive work. And finish it he did. Tomorrow we enter the somber season of Lent, a season of contemplation, a season, yes, of repentance. But even as we follow the solemn events of our Savior's passion, even as our feet tread that dark valley, we see in the distance the glorious heights of Easter Sunday. And if there's one thing the empty tomb proves beyond the shadow of a doubt, it's that Christ's mission was accomplished. His mission of atoning for all your sins was fully accomplished there on that rough Roman cross. The Bible says Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, you stand clean and justified and pure in God's sight. It must be so, for if a single one of your sins had remained to be atoned for, Jesus could never have risen the third day. If there was even one of your iniquities remaining to stain your record, then there'd still be a body over there somewhere in some unknown tomb in the land of Palestine. But there wasn't, and there isn't. Now Christ is risen from the dead, Paul says, and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. Or put even more simply by Jesus himself, because I live, you shall live also. So as a Christian, you may well consider today to be your Fat Tuesday, your spiritual Mardi Gras, your day of rejoicing and celebration. For the Lord has turned your famine into feasting. Now in place of the starvation diet that the world offers to you, God gives you rich and nourishing food. He gives you the rich repast of his pardon in Christ. He gives you salvation. He gives you every other blessing that his Father's heart can think to lavish upon his dear child. For as a father has compassion on his children, the psalmist says, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now instead of the bitter poison of this world's self-righteous schemes, work-righteous schemes, God bestows on you the well-aged wine of the cleansing blood of Christ. Instead of the dry husks, which are the vain philosophies of this world, God gives you his rich and nutritious word. He feeds you on fat things full of marrow. In short, he gives you his gospel, nourishing and wholesome, nutritious spiritual food for your soul. God grant that in the midst of the self-indulgent world in which we live, we believers indulge ourselves in this spiritual feast, this feast of God's love toward us in Christ, and delight ourselves in the fatness he offers. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing hymn 774.